Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, September 30th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the two words that say start here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that particular chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my experience, most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, print it off, download it, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see a glowing heart icon. And if you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of radio shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process, and Jeannie Rice has curated them out so you don't have to go looking through the last 11 and a half years of this radio show archives to find them. And if you choose to listen to those, they can serve as a powerful tutorial for you to help you get maximum benefits from the application of these tools. You can also call us at 563-999-3581 and let us know if you have any comments, questions, answers, or testimonials. If you call that number and press 1 on your phone, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number. And when I see that, I will turn on the microphone and announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And if we get an email, question, comment, answer, or testimonial from you, we will address that email in the show. And then as time allows, send you an email letting you know what day and time that was talked about. And you can go back and listen to the archives and tap into what was shared. So, We had a support group last night. That's a particular support group's been running for 19 years and almost every Tuesday night for 19 years. And it has been a delight. Sometimes there are 6, 8, 12 people on there. And sometimes there's just 3, like last night. And as that usually happens, or as that happens, people frequently say, you know what, sometimes these groups where there's a very few of us here are more intense and or, quote, better, close quotes, because of whatever factors. And we have people who ask about the support group and about starting their own, and over the years, a lot of different groups have started. And one of the biggest reasons that people give for stopping the group or folding it is because they don't seem to have enough people. And so I would just take this time to just remind people that some of the more powerful groups we've had over the last 19 years have been those where there were just one or two or three people in the group beside me. And that's what the comment was again last night. So if you have any interest in these tools, if you have any interest in having a support group in your area, that's something this internet show was specifically designed and begun to support people who might want to set up their own local Mindshifter support groups. And if that's the case for you, you can let us know. Jeannie has an entire web page set out for comments and ideas and tips for creating and maintaining your own support group locally. And so you can go to that web page, or you can call us at 563-999-3581 and ask a question about, so how is it that you run these support groups, and how is it that they can be so at times powerful, even when there's hardly anybody in the group? The host, and then maybe one or two other people. And oddly enough, those can be some of the more powerful, effective, positive change agents or episodes of change and facilitation that we experience. So, just a little note about what happened in the group last night and how, if you choose to develop your own support group, it doesn't have to be a monstrous project. We used to meet in person, and so part of the issue was, can we get an office, a school, a library, a church room, something where we don't have to pay for it, because I'm donating my time, and it would be prohibitive for me to have to pay rent for an office space. And then you just either get a copy of the book or download it off of the internet, or you can purchase some of the DVDs that Michael has for sale of his various talks and just start listening to his videos and or reading the book together and then start doing worksheets together. And that is as simple as it gets for creating your own support group. So today's a Friday. We have weekend coming. Yesterday we finished the reading of the 22nd chapter, I think it was, of The Way of Mastery for the first time through. Or maybe that was the day before. But anyway, yesterday we had some discussion with Susan, and then a caller at the end of the show with a question about, what do we do when I get so agitated or all these strong emotions come up when I've done a a targeted journaling session or a worksheet, and I'm not feeling tremendous relief. How do I move on from there? So if you're interested in that kind of thing, the last few minutes of the show yesterday might be a good review. And we have all kinds of time for comments or questions or answers or testimonial. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. I have a lot on my mind these days. I've done a couple interviews this week already, and lots buzzing around. There are lots and lots of people out in the world who are struggling with major challenges, whether it's drug and alcohol abuse or intense negative emotions, people who are terrified to get COVID, people who think the whole thing was a scam, people who are angry at people who wear masks, people who still don't want to leave the house because they got COVID and then got long COVID. And I've run into all of these various things this week in my practice alone, and I'm just one therapist. So imagine there's a lot of people out there who might benefit from the use of these tools. And so any little bit of help you can give us in spreading the word is greatly appreciated. As Michael likes to say, he's committed to trying to get these tools into every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And he's well aware that he's not going to reach 7 or 8 billion people on his own. So he's grateful anytime anybody chooses to engage the use of the tools, teach the tools, start a support group, etc. And the effectiveness of these tools is such that they can be of tremendous value whether you're talking about somebody who has drug and alcohol addiction problems or somebody who has chronic illness. I'm also recently reading, I think it's the most recent book by Dr. Joe Dispenza, and it really reminds me of the idea that I should turn the ringer off on my phone. It reminds me of the book that I read and talked about before about the placebo effect. Dr. Joe Dispenza's book is titled You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. And a number of years ago, I read another book or listened to another book about the power of the placebo. Let's see if I can scroll through my list and find that book. Trying to recognize the color of the title of the book itself, of the cover. Yep, Suggestible You by Eric Vance. So I highly recommend both Suggestible You by Eric Vance and the newest book by Dr. Joe Dispenza, which is You Are the Placebo. And even in just the second and third chapters of that book, the list of research that demonstrates the power of the human mind to create problems and to create solutions to those problems is truly mind-boggling. When I listen to that, and because a lot of these studies, a lot of these published studies, I've heard about over the years as they come out, and yet it seems to me to be a staggering amount of evidence when it's collected in a book form like this, when somebody's gone through the research and reviewed all of these different studies, some of them individual double-blind studies, and some of them reviews of other individual studies over time. And that would seem to my mind to be indisputable evidence of the power of the mind to heal, and yet we aren't teaching that to our allopathic medical practitioners. We are just continuing to use a standard medical model that says find this list of symptoms and match it to a list of medications and keep trying to change that balance between symptoms and medications until you've got no more symptoms. And sometimes that results in people having more than just one or two medications in their system. And I know that there's a tremendous value to some medications. They're life-saving in certain ways, and some of them are actually, you know, helping people live lives when they wouldn't be able to live, for crisis situations, etc. And yet, I also know there's a glitch in the system when somebody comes into my office and they're on 2, 3, 4, 5 or more medications, and they're coming to me for help with the very thing that the medications were supposed to fix. So if you're interested, Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, you are the placebo, and or the Eric Vance book, Suggestible You. Dr. Michael Rice likes to talk about how he has referred people to see the alltheragedoc.com movie, the documentary about Dr. John Sarno's work, and how he's actually observed that some people watch that movie and have a relief from pain. I don't even need to call it a healing. They have pain or restriction of motion, and they watch that movie, and they've got a decrease or an elimination of pain and a restoration in the range of motion in their body and their limbs. And it's just as they sit there and watch the documentary. Well, I have a feeling that the very same thing is going to be happening, has happened, for people as they read Eric Vance's Suggestible You and or Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, You Are the Placebo. Because as you educate your mind to its power and what it's doing, you free it up to do that very thing even more efficiently. I mean, there are people who are researching this who have uncovered the fact that the power of your mind to create change in your physiology, in your brain chemistry, and in the entire energy system that we call your body is so pervasive that some people have begun to question, is most of the effect that people experience when they take a medication, is most of it due to the placebo effect? Imagine that. Imagine that they have tracked, they have absolute evidence that if they tell somebody, when you take this pill, even though, and they'll tell them, this is a placebo, and yet 80 to 90% of the people who take this placebo have a relief in their depression or their pain or whatever it is, and a significant portion of those people, even though they know it's just a sugar pill or an inert substance, they feel better. And then they track the brain chemistry, and the brain chemistry has changed. Well, if that's possible, how much of the effect of every medication that's given by a doctor is producing a result because the patient expects the result to happen? Just try to let that in. It's a fascinating question. It's one that researchers are digging into, certain researchers. Of course, certain people who do research don't want to know the answer if that's true, because it would require a tremendous restructuring of how they think about the work they do and or the medications they create, et cetera. But for people who just want relief, it's a powerful, wonderful thing to start exploring. What if the upset, what if the depression, the anxiety, the physical pain and restriction of motion that most of us feel is something that can be dramatically changed by a shift in our perception and by the way we use our mind energy? To me, it's a highly intriguing question and one that I continue to actively explore. So, call in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What's on your mind today? What are your thoughts in response to what I was just sharing? Or what's happened in the last 11 and a half years on this internet show that you would like to call into question or make a comment about? Alternatively, if no one puts a hand up, we can go back and begin the review of Lesson 22, which is something we've done. I like to review, at least do 2 readings of each lesson, especially when they are, as at least to my eye and ear, intense in their invitation, in what they're inviting us to do, to explore, to experience. And as I've mentioned, Lesson 21 and Lesson 22, for my money, offer two of the more intense exercises. In Lesson 21, the first page, it invites us to take 9 separate sheets of paper and write a statement at the top of each, and then dedicate some time, 1 full week of time, to each of those pieces of paper. And sit down whenever you're motivated to do that throughout the week, 1 or more times a day if that's what you're drawn to do, and read the statement, which this book says is an absolutely true statement, and watch what part of you wants to argue against it. And then make notes about it. Let yourself journal about it. Let yourself sit with it and think about it. Watch the pictures, images, ideas, emotions, physical sensations that get stirred up in you. Watch any thoughts that say this is not entirely true. And it says this is a way for you to observe what's actually occurring in the field of your own mind. And it's what they call entering into a deliberate purification. And by purification, they don't mean punishment. They don't mean, you know, going 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. They mean understanding, asking to be shown, and looking, being willing to see what are the thoughts and images, emotions, and traumatic energies that are in your consciousness that you hide from your conscious awareness. The reason for that is because they say quite clearly you cannot transcend what you refuse to embrace. So just sit with the statement, read it, and notice what bubbles up in you. And then after a 2 or 3 minute period, look at what you've come up with. Look what you felt or written down or thought. And then contrast that through this particular statement written at the top of the page. As you continue to do that, you continue to stir up the parts of you that want to argue against what this book is saying is just a simple truth. Just like gravity, just like the weather, just like wind, just like your heartbeat, it's just always there. And when I argue against what's actually there, I initiate suffering. And then the second of these two lessons in a row that I think offer these very intense exercises is lesson 22. And it's titled, Self-Honesty, the Greatest of Love. And that one reads, Beloved and holy friends, we come forth with one purpose, to join with the mind of the holy offspring of creation. For surely this is what you are. We come forth to join with that mind that was there in the beginning, before the mountains and seas arose, before the universe arose, before even the thought of time and space arose. This book is saying that the part of you that can be conscious of your existence is tied to all consciousness, which was there before there was any physical time and space. That's your true nature. And this book is saying they're coming into this teaching, into the speaking of these words that happened from 94 to 97, and then was later transcribed into the book I'm reading now, that they're doing this, they're presenting this specifically to connect consciously with the part of you that can learn about its true nature. Not the intellect that's been shoved full of trivialities from your family of origin and the language you were taught and all these false senses of division, but the part of you that can experience connection to all things and all entities. The part of you that's always been aware. The text goes on and reads, we come forth then to join with that mind of the holy offspring of creation that has remained in perfect union as the sonship, as the group of entities that have arisen from. There's no gender implied here. And those entities which are in perfect union with their creator, in perfect union with the capital R reality, and capital L, love. Though we have said it unto you many times, we ask you to truly take pause and consider this one statement. Here it comes. Take a breath. We come forth to join with you, not from a place above you or beyond you, but the place in which you already dwell. No perception, no appearance can change the capital T truth that is true always. Even in this moment, as you hear these words, can you feel and accept the truth of them? As you look out through your eyes and you seem to see your body as separate from the chair and the wall and the furnishings wherever you are, or the outside, if you're outside walking on a sidewalk, or your perception would seem to show you that there's a big difference between you and the person driving by or the person walking by. This book clearly states, no perception, no appearance can change the truth that is true always. You are infinitely connected to the source of your creation and everything else that's arisen within that creation. And the only reason, the book goes on and says, the only reason you can understand these words or feel any truth in them, the only reason you can sense the truth that comes through them is because you are that truth. And that you know in your bones that truth. The text goes on, there is a place within you that is unbounded, eternal, inevitable, invincible, incomprehensible to the world mind, incomprehensible to the senses of the body, but perfectly and even simply comprehensible to the silence in which the soul dwells, comprehensible in a state of perfect knowledge. This idea about how limited our senses are is talked about in the second chapter of Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, where he starts talking about how, you know, your senses pick up a tiny fraction of what's available in terms of the energies and experiences around you. And then your conscious logical mind is only able to track or follow a tiny fraction of that in each moment. So it's very much like the research from Harvard that Dr. Michael Rice likes to quote. It says, you know, in 1/25th of a second, they can track about 10,000 units of electrical activity in the frontal lobes of your brain. In that same period of time, they're estimating about 20 trillion bits of information are hitting your senses, and you're able to be aware of 10 at maximum. Nine, it's the actual statistic was 7 bits, and the region of error was plus or minus 2. So anywhere from 9 to 5 bits of information, if you're really concentrating, and your brain will be processing 10,000 and about 20 trillion bits of information are hitting your senses, and you're going to try to tell yourself, because you've been trained to believe this and conditioned to believe it, that you know what's going on. And this book and a lot of other great spiritual teachings are there. Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, et cetera, are there to help you wake up to the fact that there's a lot more going on here than you know about. That's not just a line from a movie. There is a lot more going on in each moment than we can possibly know with our senses and our intellectual thoughts. The book goes on and says, all teaching, regardless of the form, and there are many forms of the universal curriculum, all teaching has but one specific goal, and that is to nudge the mind of the dreamer beyond his or her dream, to return to the state of perfect knowledge. Some would call it enlightenment, that which is flooded with light. Light is truth, and truth is knowledge, and knowledge is love. So I'm just going to read that whole paragraph again, because Guy Finley says there is one unseen cosmic curriculum. And the only purpose of that curriculum is to awaken the mind to the existence of the intelligence that created the curriculum. Just think about that. The curriculum is not to teach me calculus. The curriculum is not to teach me about the 7-step reality management worksheet, or the 5-step mental short version on mindshiftersacademy.org educational page. The curriculum is simply there to educate me to the existence of an intelligence that goes beyond anything I can comprehend with my conscious logical mind. This book says it this way: all teaching, regardless of the form, has but one specific goal, and that is to nudge the mind of the dreamer beyond his or her dream, to return that mind to a state of perfect knowledge. Some would call this enlightenment, that which is suddenly flooded with light. Light is truth, truth is knowledge, and knowledge is capital L love. Now you might notice some similarities here, and there's this pervasive presentation of the concept that love is all there is, and God is all there is, and God is love, and God is what actually is, and the creation is what actually is, and perception, my thoughts about it, are not the thing. My perception is many levels removed from the actuality of life. So the text goes on then and says, therefore, when we come forth to join with you, the only purpose that we have is to flood you with light, to enlighten you, to turn your awareness, your attention, to what you already know, to your absolute essence. And the only difference between knowledge and belief, which is the same difference between love and fear, is that in a state of knowledge or enlightenment, the resistance to the capital T truth vanishes. I talk over and over and over again about how highly preferable it has been in my personal experience to learn to live from direct observation as opposed to belief. Belief, Krishnamurti would say, thoughts are dead and old. Belief are well-rehearsed thoughts. It's from the past. It's dead. It can't help you live actively in the moment, a full life. So much of these great teachings is about learning to live from direct observation, drop the beliefs, get out of your head, get out of your mind. Dr. Michael Rice would say, in order to heal, you must be out of your mind. You have to step outside of the conditioned thoughts and the automatic response patterns and breathe and soften and ask to be shown an entirely different way to relate, to experience things that go beyond what your conscious logical mind is going to serve up yet again. So that last paragraph says, therefore, when we come forth to join with you, the only purpose we have is to enlighten you, to turn your awareness, your attention to what you already know. The only difference between knowledge and belief, which is the same as the difference between love and fear, that only difference is that in a state of knowledge or enlightenment, the resistance to the capital T truth of what actually is vanishes. Initially, perhaps just for a moment, but eventually, there's no longer any resistance to the simplicity of the truth. This transformation from a state of fear to love, or from ignorance, the ignoring of truth, to enlightenment, the embracing and acknowledging of truth, this transformation occurs for each mind within the realm, within the dream, in a very specific way. That is, it must occur according to what is required to release the patterns that have settled into that particular mind. In a general way, those patterns are the same for everyone, but in their expression, they take on a perfect uniqueness. Therefore, the timing of your enlightenment, the timing of your healing, the way in which it occurs, and the contexts that are necessary for you to be challenged by your own self will be uniquely your own. Why? So that the belief you've been holding, born out of fear, can be brought to the attention and then released. This is why, in the way of transformation, it is absolutely essential that you never compare your journey to another's. Now, here's a sidebar, because we had a very intense bit of processing on Tuesday night in the support group. And we had all kinds of responses to it. We had one person saying, oh my gosh, I'm afraid that this person is going to be suicidal because they're crying so much and their processing is so intense. I'm really afraid of that. And other people on the same call were saying, oh my gosh, I'm envious of that processing. I want that kind of release. I want that kind of an insight. The point is, if I look at somebody else and I see that, oh my gosh, in this one worksheet, they tapped into a trauma that's been driving their perception of the world for, you know, decades, and they've released it, and now they feel so much better, and they're lighter, and their relationships are going better, and they're dealing with their stress and loss better. Oh my gosh, it's miraculous. I wish I could have that. This book says very specifically, it is imperative that you never do that. Because what's wrapped around in your mind in terms of thoughts and traumas and beliefs and thoughts that you value and emotions that you resist and grab onto is unique to you. And it's an absolute trap to compare your growth, your process, your movement toward love, your movement toward love as opposed to fear, your movement toward enlightenment and knowledge as opposed to belief, has to be unraveled within the mind, the field of energy that you call your mind. And it's unique to you. No one else has had your life experiences. No one else has had the parents you had interacting with you just the way your parents interacted with you, even if you've got 8 siblings. Those 8 siblings, I guarantee you, experienced your parents differently. This is one of the reasons we slow down and read this book this way, because there isn't, I don't think there's a casual word in the entire book. But when the book says it is absolutely essential that you never, and it's an italicized word, never, compare your journey to another's. I slow down and I read that and say, oh, well, how much of my mind energy do I spend on that? Oh, I wish I was like this so-and-so. I wish I could get as much out of worksheets as that person. I wish EFT tapping worked for me the way these other people say it works for them. I wish I could just take a pill. I know this one person, she took Prozac and her life was transformed. I wish that was that easy for me. I know this one person, they did orthobiotomy and it seemed to cure everything about their spinal problems. And I wish it would work that way for me, but I've spent, you know, $4,000 on orthobiotomy treatments and it's not helping. The comparison is a trap, and the book reads, this is why the timing of your enlightenment, the timing of your healing, the way in which it occurs, and the contexts that are necessary for you to be challenged by your own self will be uniquely your own. Why is that? So that the belief you have been holding on to, which has been born out of fear, can be brought to your attention and then released. This goes back to the very first lesson, page 5 in this book, where it says, nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. Well, if you choose to value the thought that your mother always liked your brother better, or that you lived in a world that isn't safe, despite all kinds of evidence to the contrary, you have a few pieces of evidence that you hold on to and you pour value into those, then you create an experience of yourself that the world isn't safe and I'm not safe in it. Or you create an experience for yourself that your mother loved your brother better, when your mother might have had more of an affinity for you, but you can't see it. And it's that unraveling of what each of us have chosen to value and pour our mind energy into as a thought pattern and an emotional energy pattern or a trauma energy pattern. It's those things that need to be unraveled for each of us individually. It's not possible for a one-size-fits-all healing because each of us has this infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness in each new present moment. And it is the choice for the focus of that conscious energy in each new present moment which actually creates our experience of life. I have literally been creating all of my own pain, fear, sadness, and suffering. Each and every person who's listening to this has been actively creating their own pain, fear, sadness, grief, resentment, hurts, suffering. And at no time has it ever been caused by anything outside of the individual. The text goes on and says, this is why, in the way of transformation, it is absolutely essential that you never compare your journey to another's. It goes on and says, by all means, pay attention to the journeys of your brothers and sisters. Be open at all times to learn, to assimilate and grow, to apply, to integrate, to consider, to ponder. Do all of that without comparing. The text reads, the ego always compares and contrasts. It looks upon itself, it takes its self-picture and compares its picture to the picture of another mind without even noticing that the picture is something it has created. It believes that it is seeing what is outside of itself, that the picture or the analysis of another actually exists in the other. This book allows for the fact that it may. But the point here is that the ego compares and contrasts and then draws a conclusion about its own worthiness, its own progress, its own state of illumination. And it's doing that all from pictures that it's creating. The text reads, all of this must be ego function because, in reality, you remain as you were created to be. And whether you are in any given moment, wherever you are in any given moment, enlightenment is but a decision away. That decision entails but one thing. That is to release the insane valuation you have placed upon everything and everyone, most especially yourself. That decision rests on the willingness to take God at God's word. In other words, to see directly, to experience directly the truth of your life and the creation that you are a part of. that decision rests on your willingness to cultivate silence. And when I read that, my mind says instantly, cultivating silence, the way they've just talked about it right there, is cultivating releasing judgment. Even refining that to the point of saying releasing perception, dismantling perception, going back to the third lesson in this work that says their definition for forgiveness in this work is the dismantling of every perception, especially those that lead to a negative conclusion. And we can know instantly it's false if it's negative, especially those that leave me feeling a negative emotion. So silence, what is silence? My mind right now is telling me as I'm reading this book that silence is the result of my looking for, using my intellect for the purpose of watching itself, turning the mind back on itself and watching my thoughts and understanding that every time I can catch a thought that has moved into a judgment, and then release it, release my valuation of it as important, call it into question. Every time I do that, I move more into the silence that they're talking about here. It isn't necessarily a space where I don't have any thoughts in my head. It's not what many people have considered is the great meditation teaching to quiet the mind. This work here, to my eye and ear, is talking about the silence is the recognition of the mind that's chattering and its judgments and simply letting it go. Not trying to stop it, not trying to force it to change direction, just recognize it as silliness, as the result of an automatic process that's created when I try to choose a perception that's different than the flow of life. I try to hide from myself the truth of my thoughts, capital T, truth of my thoughts. I try to hide from myself my busy mind actively comparing me to other people and other things. The silence is the direct result of me using my intellect to just notice, just observe, just allow, just accept. I was really impressed lately with several different talks I've heard and books I've read, how similar the concept in those books is with, they use the term acceptance and this book uses the term allowance. And just notice what emotional loadings or meanings you might have for that. There have been times when I've made presentations and I talk to people about acceptance and they go, this is unacceptable. Actually, I had somebody send me a meme yesterday or the day before. It said, you know, it's time for us to quit accepting the things we cannot change and start changing the things we cannot accept. So it's just talk about fighting against reality. Here's that, the old serenity prayer that says, you know, help me to accept the things I cannot change. Here's somebody fighting against that and saying, I want to just start changing everything, whether I like it or not, whether I have any ability to change or not. I'm going to start using my thought process, my words, my actions to try and change those things, even when there's a part of me that recognizes I don't have the ability or power to change it. That's how rigorous our intellectual conditioning has been, that we are literally starting to talk about, or probably not starting, we've probably done it for thousands of years, talking about changing things that we don't have the power to change. And we recognize that we don't have the power to change them, and we want to change them anyway. We want to direct our mind energy into the comparison, into the negative emotional states. It reminds me of the thought that came to me that my definition, this is several years ago, my definition for being stuck is anytime I have a negative thought going in my mind or body's energy system, a negative thought or a negative emotion. And when that came to me, it also came to me to say, and my definition of being hopelessly stuck is that I am now arguing for my negative thought or emotion. So as we talked about so much throughout the times that we're reviewing this book, you have the free will to focus your thoughts wherever you want to focus them. You want to spend your time comparing yourself to other people? You can. It will keep you stuck. You want to focus a lot of your mind energy on things you don't have any control over? You can. What I tell people is you'll know you're doing that because you'll be feeling a negative emotion, a hurt or frustration, an anger or bitterness or resentment. Anytime you feel those negative emotions, you could choose to wake up and realize, oh, I must have most of my energy, my mind energy right now, focused on something I don't have any control over. And again, in this lesson, this book is saying, just allow yourself to observe that. Drop, as soon as you realize that you've got tension, anger, hurt, frustration, drop it, breathe and soften, and allow it to be what it is. Just observe it, recognize it, and say, oh, right now, I'm generating a lot of X, Y, and Z thoughts or emotions. I wonder if I'm going to keep doing that for a long time or if I might prefer something else. Maybe I'll choose to shift the focus of my thoughts with allowance, with what some people would call acceptance. That's what's being called for. Not being a doormat, not having no boundaries, but just watching the mind energy that we've been trained to focus on things we don't have any control over, and just observe what's the consequence of that. How does it leave me feeling? So that's our offering for this first hour this morning. Our calling number is 563-999-3581. Currently waiting for Jeannie Rice to show up on the switchboard. So we have a few minutes if anybody wants to comment on what's been happening. And I will text her and see if she wants me to play something or she's going to be showing up momentarily. There she is, just popped up on the board. So I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form. And I will turn on the microphone for and welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Thanks for playing the show for us yesterday. Appreciate you.
Well, and we were asking people to send thoughts and prayers and blessings for
Thank you.
Health and healing.
Thanks. She is doing better, and actually her mom flew in yesterday from the airport. They went ahead and sent her home from her business meeting, and so I picked her up at the airport yesterday and So they are all three at home, just snuggled in, and they said that her fever was staying down today. So hopefully it's a little under control. Thank you for the
good
thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
Command deserving. Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Friday, September the 30th, 2022. I don't know where the month of September went. It just went by so quickly. But we're getting ready to move into October. I hope everybody is safe with the hurricane and all the storms and things going on. It, even as far north and west as we are in Virginia, our wind is like crazy today. It's just we don't have any rain yet, but it is cold and the wind is blowing. I've talked to both of my brothers. One of them's in North Carolina, and he said it's raining and windy there too, and they've closed schools. And of course, down in Florida, they've been hit pretty hard. So let's just hold the space for everybody. It's coming back into North Carolina and South Carolina and all up through the East Coast there. So it is uncontrollable. We just have to hold the space and hope people have evacuated and are taking care of themselves. I'm giving Michael just a minute to get dialed in. He's actually outside with the wind up as much as it was the other day. It wasn't blowing near this hard, and it picked up Aria's trampoline and slammed it into our neighbor's house down the hill. So he's out there anchoring it with bungee cords to the picnic table so that it can't go anywhere because the wind has definitely picked up today. So we're glad that you're with us. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you press 1, it puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. I invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org, and there are all kinds of links. And for some reason, I'm just thinking about doing this, but if you go to the website and you click on either the Start Here or the Bullseye in the Middle, it takes you to where all the worksheets and things are, a good place to start. If you scroll down and click on Other Worksheets, it's where you find commitments and posters and things. You can scroll down through there. They're in alphabetical order and go to Personal Code Evaluation Feedback Sheet. And that gives you kind of the 10 areas that the Personal Code Evaluation will score you in. And when I was looking at something this morning and I saw that and it dawned on me, Susan, I see you're on the switchboard, that I had not sent you. I know you talked to Michael about what your scores were and everything, but I just realized this morning I didn't send you the challenge sheet with the assignments and stuff, so I'm working on that. You will have that by the end of the show. I apologize for not sending it to you. And if I did send it to you, I didn't
so
keep a copy.
You've had an awful lot going on. I was going to rattle the page eventually. But
well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad to hear that Aria is feeling better. Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, so scary the other day. I mean, she hit over 105, and thank God that the kids have a really good doctor, and they actually have his physician's assistant. They have her personal cell phone number. They've been friends. And so he texted her and told her what was going on with Aria. At that time, it was just 103. And she said, bring her in. Don't even stop at the front desk. Just come straight back. And so he did. And by the time he got there, it was 105.1. And they gave her something immediately to bring it down and then started doing tests to make sure it wasn't COVID and to make sure, you know, whether it was it flu and it wasn't. And then they did chest x-rays and found it was pneumonia. And
wonderful.
The only thing we got. Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering how she could have gotten pneumonia. That's so, you know, geez.
Yeah, well, Michael wrote an article on Facebook here just a few minutes ago, and the you know, two things. One, she has started school. You know, she's been in school now for four weeks. And so it's like a petri dish at school. You know, she only goes half a day, but she's in school now. And she also started playing soccer. Well, we say playing soccer. The kids are out there. They kick the ball and then stand there and watch it go wherever it goes. It's like they haven't got the hang of the game or anything yet, or they're picking flowers or something, you know. But anyway, she's, you know, running and doing things outside, and the quality of air of our air is not the best. And so we figure, you know, it's either a combination of being in school and being outside running around and the air not being that good of a quality, or, you know, a little of all of it. But, yeah, she's you know, circled the sun for 4 years now, and this is the first time she has really been sick. I mean, there's been a few things, you know, a little runny nose here or there or something, but nothing like this. I mean, she's that baby's been out all week. And Gabby flew in yesterday, and they were both, Ryan and Aria, were so thrilled to see her when I picked her up at the airport and took her home. And you could just see the relief on Ryan's face, you know, because, I mean, he's an awesome dad. But that's been a lot of pressure of, you know, am I doing everything right? You know, is this okay? And whatever. But you could see the relief on his face when we pulled into the driveway. But, Michael, I was just telling them, they asked what could it have been, and I was telling them about the air quality and stuff. So, but anyway, he's come in now, so give him just a minute, and he'll be on with us. How are things going with you? And I do apologize for not getting that to you. I'm usually more on top of that, but, yeah, this week's been a little bit crazy.
I get it. Not to worry. Thanks so much.
Yeah. And so what brought that up, too, then, when I realized I hadn't sent that to you and I got to looking. So, you know, we've said a couple of times, you know, Michael's writing again, I'm writing again, and, you know, finances are down a little bit. So one of the things that somebody might want to do is, you know, pay, and we would give you two, when Michael gets on, he can correct me on the amount, but I believe it's $100, you get two personal code evaluations. You take one, you're given assignments that you do under each of the categories, and after you've, you know, watched some videos and you've done some work and you know, a little ways down the road you feel like you've improved, you then you can take it again, and you can see the comparison of the scores based on the work that you do. So that's something that we can throw out there if somebody's interested in partaking in that. We're also doing, you know, we're still doing the Mind Shifters and Steel Point Breathing the second Saturday of every month. And then, of course, it's free. You can join the book club, the Global Book Club, and it is the second and fourth Thursday of every month. So there's, you know, a lot of opportunities to dig in and do the work, and we invite everybody to do that. Put the tools to work in your life. And so, anyway, I will get your assignments to use. I know, like I said, I know you talked to Michael, but it's good to have a piece of paper in front of you of what things are. So,
yeah.
And do you have the links to, I think you got them when you were in the online intensive, the links to where Michael explains the personal code?
I haven't been able to find them. I do have a long roster of links you sent me. I don't know what I'm looking for, but maybe.
Okay. Well, I'll send them when I send your results. I'll send it because there's two videos that where he goes over and explains each of the 10 areas and explains the assignments and all of those things. So, you know, and he goes into detail so you can actually, you know, rewind and play or whatever and pay attention to the areas that are like your number ones that you need to work on. And so I'll send you those links when I send you these results.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. How are things going on with you and the boys?
Well, Lukey just got a job. Luke drove a U-Haul with all his stuff home from college. He dropped out. He requested a form so that he could say he needs a medical leave. He couldn't stay sober there. So he has driven home to his mom's house, and she said, the only way I can have you here is if you do not touch alcohol and you go to meetings and you get a job. Well, he's been there for 2 days. They had to shelter in the cathedral in Jacksonville, but it was never bad in Jacksonville, Florida, where they live. The storm went east of Jacksonville, even though poor old Florida has been flattened where my mom and dad used to live in Fort Myers. It's been completely flattened. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Hurricane ever in that state. But they were safe, and as soon as he got out of the cathedral, he applied for a job and got it. So he called me, and he's very proud of himself. And he's so far, you know, it's only been a few days, but he's not touching the alcohol. And so we're just very hopeful. So thanks. And Jacob is on shaky ground. I think he's still using. He's telling us he isn't, but he doesn't sound right. He is doing his school, but he, you know, he's the one we're focused on. Well, we're focused on both of them. So anyway, thanks for asking. Quick report.
Yeah.
But I'll let you go. Yeah.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you?
Welcome, Michael.
Thank
Hi,
you,
Michael.
Dear heart. Hey, welcome. How are
Thanks.
You today?
Fine. You're not going to be blown away, right?
No, I actually just went in. We've got a trampoline, and a couple of days ago it flew right over into the neighbor's yard, you know, like one, like a 10-foot diameter one with, you know, with fencing around it and such for Aria, and ended up in the neighbor's yard.
Right.
So the winds are getting stronger, so I just decided to go out and tie it down before the show started. And it's supposed to go up in the 60s
right.
today, but this morning we had a man come look at our trees, and it was 52. And we looked at the temperature,
Ooh.
Which I was getting ready to go outside, and it's still 52. It's supposed to be 63, but it's not moving. So I guess they've miscalculated a little on how this storm's going to impact us here. But I don't think it'll be any big deal, but... Much bigger deal, what Jeannie was talking about with the quality of air and water that we have in our culture. It's definitely, I've been, you know, ruminating on what's going on with Aria because she's been so healthy. I mean, from day one, she's
mm-hmm.
had sniffles a couple of times, but that's been it. And started looking at all the things that were destroyed in the last administration in terms of clean air, clean water, and that sort of thing. And, you know, they're telling us that, let's see, what's the number? About 11 million people, I believe, is something that, you know, the whole country needs to wake up to. From 2018 to 2020. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, here in our area, I mean, just about a mile from us and about two or three miles from where Ryan and Gabby live is the landfill. And it got so bad and so many people complaining that they've actually closed the landfill and they have 1 year to get it buried.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know, the smell is just atrocious. So you know that if you can smell it, that it's got toxins and things.
But we had somebody from the landfill come visit us one day when we put in a complaint. You know, they say, tell us what's happening. Guy said, yeah, well, you know, yeah, it's pretty stinky. But, you know, I work with it all. I don't wear a mask. It's no big deal. It's like, really? And then you look at the reports of increases in asthma and just all kinds of crazy
yeah.
stuff going on. And it's pretty... pretty tragic, but according to, let's see, that 2020 assessment by the American Lung Association, they're saying that 2.1 million more residents in the United States are breathing unhealthy air compared to 2017 to 2019, and 9 million more people are impacted by the most hazardous air quality days in this last year in the Lung Association's 20-year history.
Wow.
And, of course, if you look at it, there was a whole series of things. You know, the last administration pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement. They totally, the EPA was forced to scrap the clean power plan, you know, clean energy plan. What just happened? My page just jumped on me there. Excuse me. I'm just looking at some of the statistics. And as I started putting it together, it's like it's really clear why RU has been pretty vibrant and healthy. She just got out playing, you know, she's now playing soccer, so they've had her out practicing in the yard and out running and playing soccer. And they're saying that life expectancy has gone down on planet Earth in the last 10 years by 2 years. Due to air pollution. And you know, it just goes on and on and on. It's just bizarre when you look at the numbers. So it's definitely time for some action. One piece that I came across, Brigham Young University says there are somewhere between 2,500 and 8,000 deaths in Logan, Utah due to air pollution per year. 2,500 to 8,000 people. It's like, hello, why aren't we doing something about getting the air quality increase rather than, oh, money. That's it. I forgot about the money. So,
right.
It's time for a shift, as in many areas of the world and our lives. And so we're breathing gently and holding a space for Arya Rain. Appreciate everybody who's been sending her love. I heard from a couple of folks who are doing that. She seems like she's rocking this morning, so I think we're on the upside of it. Going to be getting her hand in the Avacyn more. That's one of the first things that opens up with the Avacyn is lungs. So anything else on your mind for today? Now that I've opened up my my brain cells for the day?
All right. No, I'm just eager to listen. Thanks a lot, Michael. Yep.
All right, young lady. Have a blessed one.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Well, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, Bob is with us from
hey, Bob.
Down under or up over.
Whichever way, it's all perception.
It's quiet there. Nobody has a hand up. We've got several people on the switchboard. If somebody presses one, you are first in line without waiting.
Yeah, let's have a conversation. A few more little numbers, seeing as we're on that topic, and I bring it forward to say, you know, is there something you can do in your community, in your political circles or your business circles, to make a difference? You know, one of the braggadocio things of the last administration was that they're going to make coal number one again, and coal-fired power plants release arsenic, lead, mercury. Millions of pounds of carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide. And then you add to that the burning of fossil fuels, which, you know, everybody says, oh, it's going to cost too much to go electric. And, you know, it's going to cost a lot. And there's going to be a lot of pollution related to electric. But unfortunately, the batteries, they haven't got the technology down yet. So that's certainly a balancing act. But one assessment is saying is that just the air quality here in America, or actually globally, surpasses the health threats of tuberculosis, AIDS, cigarette smoking, poor diet, and war. The University of Chicago came up with what they called an air quality life index, and they're the ones who said that it's dropped. Life expectancy dropped 1.8 years because of the increase in air pollutants. So it's something to think about, something to do something about. You know, the thing that stimulated me looking from this perspective of some of the latest legislation that's being looked at in Congress, and a coal millionaire trying to get legislation passed to advance his agenda. And it's time for us to speak up. You know, fortunately, that piece of legislation was withdrawn by the coal baron that had represents a particular state, and added this legislation to a funding bill, which he thought, well, you know, they're going to have to do the funding bill, so I'll get my, you know, my wealth enhancement legislation in. But it's time to wake up. Pulled out of the climate agreement, scrapped the Clean Power Plan. EPA loosened regulations in the last administration on toxic air pollution. Rescinded methane flaring rules. I guess when they're bringing natural gas up there, methane comes to the surface and they just burned off. And that's a major source of pollution. And the last administration just nixed that protection. Fuel economy rules were nixed. Flood standards on sea levels rising, gone. And I don't really quite understand it, but it's been called the Waters of the U.S. rule. And something about the way that waters are handled through government have been basically watered down to nothing. I'm not sure what seismic air gun blasts for oil and gas drilling are. I guess it's moving the shale to try and open up oil and gas. That's been the regulations on that are gone. Protection for all kinds of wildlife has just disappeared. The Endangered Species Act has been watered down to next to nothing, as well as the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. And that's resulted in, you know, basically the idea that has been to owe public lands for business. There's an interesting Ken Burns series on our national parks and the struggle that it took to create the national parks as preserves, where, you know, the business community that wants to turn everything to a profit. I mean, over decades struggled trying to force businesses in and, you know, turn the national parks into a profit. And so that's been changed by opening public lands for business. You know, downsize a couple of national monuments to sell them out to corporate interests. Sharp logging increase on public lands under the last administration. Up till that last administration came in, climate change was on a list of national security threats. That's been dropped. And the EPA's criminal enforcement is at a 30-year low. And we just need to, I think, wake up and, you know, when in the ancient teachings they talked about heat being holy, they weren't talking about being down on your knees with your hands folded. They were talking about being able to look at the whole picture of what's happening in your life and in your world. And so to get back to truth. And, of course, if disturbance comes with this, and I've done a couple of worksheets this morning, had some goals to cancel as I did this research, then, you know, each one of us who energetically contributes by not dealing with and processing our own energetic patterns get the opportunity to learn forgiveness. And, of course, when we look at the collective energetic patterns of all the minds that make up a family, a community, a state, a city, a state, a country, then we see there's a result, and every person who can shift the energetic patterns which they hold can potentially be a contributor to changing the game for everybody. So that's what this work is about. That's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to do on a personal level, and to inspire every mind, heart, and being on the planet to be part of that process. So we're honored and delighted that you're part of the process of this radio show and have the input that you have in supporting the understanding of this technology, the application of the technology, which inspires change throughout the whole process of life. Oh, one of the other interesting little pieces of information I came up with or that I just heard a day or so ago around the same issue is that, and I haven't been able to find verification of this yet, so this may not be true, but one person who's working on, you're listening to a video, working on toxicity in the home, and they're saying that in the U.S. we import 250 pounds of chemicals per person per day into America. Doesn't count anything we manufacture here. But, I mean, think about that. 250 pounds of chemicals per day per person. Where does that go? Where does that end up? What are we doing to ourselves? Is it really better living through chemistry? Or is it insanity? And I guess kind of as a result for me of some of the research, some of the personal forgiveness work I did this morning, I kind of find myself in, I could just be quiet now, just be in a quiet state and breathe.
Well, two things.
Go for it, sweetie.
Okay. One is we have a caller. But then after we take care of the caller, then I have a question from email. And so.
Sweet.
When you're ready. And
let's
I believe
go for
this
it.
Is Miss Julie, 541. You're on the air.
Welcome, Julie. How are you, young lady?
Mute. Hi.
You got it.
Well,
we can hear you.
I'm resonating with you. And I'm sorry, I just realized what all Ariane has been going. Aria Rain, I can't talk with my braces sometimes. Anyway, they're coming off soon, though. Yeah, what she's going through, wow. I'm a teacher. I've been teaching, 30 years or so, 40.
Right.
And I've seen how kids get sick from school. And they get sick before Halloween because the candy's sold early, and they get sick after Halloween, and all these seasons and all these poisons. So there is all that and all that you just spoke of. And I have to admit I feel like I'm the effect of all that often because there's another one around every corner. But
a lot of energy going
however,
on. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I had I had sort of a dream the other night, similar to what you were saying a moment ago. I woke up and I realized I had been just surrounded by mirrors everywhere, every size and shape.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were framed; they were all just mirror substance, mirror.
Right.
Separate. Separate pieces of mirror, but large on the large side, not crumbled. Anyway.
Right.
So then it was early in the morning, so like 3 a.m, so I go back to sleep, and then I woke up and I'm going, what was that about? And then I got some guidance that to look at the whole picture, the whole holy picture, but with all those mirrors, that's what they are. You sometimes say smoke and mirrors. So, these things are true, that smoke and mirrors, right? And they apply to everything. If it's true, truth is true. So, and we live in a world where truths are presented to us as goals to make of our own, right? They're presented to us and they're argued and they're opposing each other and fragmenting. and they are all lies. All of it is lies trying to pose as truth. They're all these effects that the pseudoscience tries to say is cause. World climate change, hurricanes, all of this, and it's created by us, not as a blame thing like we're so bad we use too many of our resources, but how some choose to use it as a weapon or to lord over others of us. And I just see that that's kind of what happens with darkness. I found myself this morning hating darkness. How is that? How's that a good one? I got to bring that to a loving.
Who's the mirror? Who's the mirror that's giving you the deepest opportunity right now to heal your darkness?
Exactly. Yes. I'm seeing it. I'm just giving this as information. I don't believe what I'm saying, except that I see that it's seeable, because there is a lot of effect trying to pose as cause. And I'm getting back to there is only one truth. So when we're looking at effects, this is from, A Course in Miracles, when we're looking at effects in the world, we have to remember that, they are once removed from truth, and they are a replicate creation using creator power or misusing it, miscreating it. I would go with that judgment that I just said. Okay. However, this work that we do here based in truth is undoing those misperceptions and miscorrections. So even though it looks bad, and even though Aria Rain got 105, temperature, the thing is that our energetic system in truth can handle it. And it's by doing the work. So, and I'm just saying, I feel fairly burdened also by how much is all at once, but I have to see the whole picture and walk in the world, but not of it. Stay in touch with the of
and,
that I
and
am
take,
of.
Mm-hmm. And take the action required to hold it accountable and bring change where change is necessary, to me, is an important part of the process. It doesn't mean you just lay down and go, oh, well, it's all just effect. It's like,
you do.
Accountability.
You responsibly have a way, each one of us can look to see what is our next opportune way of correcting our perception, not just perception, but what are the effects of our thoughts and our perceptions. And that's what Ruka is here for.
Every level.
And,
yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying all that to, motivate, others to, get off the stick a little bit and stop listening to the politicians' version of the lie, which is based on a bluff, a hoax, that they're actually giving us a truth. World climate change. World climate change. Three words. And people give it all the meaning that those three words mean. And buy into the fear about it. And yes, we live in a world, yes, we have climate, and yes, climates change. And yes, there are those who can cause effects on the climate. And we can undo it also. And it's a choice.
That's the invitation, is to do the work both inwardly and outwardly to bring about a shift in the things that we're doing as non-humans that bring destruction to ourselves and to the planet.
Yeah, so people who know that they're doing, I would hold that there's an awakening for those who are in responsible positions, just doing their job to carry out this world climate effect thing, would wake up enough and be empowered enough to gather together and join together in statements of truth that are empowered to counteract. You see, that does put us in that opposing illusory reality place, but when you come from the true connection to source, it's already overcome. Because light is always greater than darkness. I was going to say this earlier. I do this visual thing with my hands where I hold both palms up and I face them together. In fact, you've done this with radio waves or something in one of your demonstrations, but in a workshop. but this is, I say that one hand is light and one hand's darkness, all right? And I hold them facing each other in front of me, and the closer they get, I tell who I'm talking to that darkness is always trying to usurp what it can from light and steal it away and use it. And as I say that, I turn my darkness palm away so that they're both facing the same way, so that the darkness has the what it just stole from the light, whatever it could, and it imposes it onto others who have less light and would possibly believe how they want, how darkness is manipulating the light. But the light, if we focus on increasing light, darkness will always be, at some level, be dissolving, because it cannot withstand light. So all the lies that darkness contrives to lord over others, darkness has to keep managing it, keep the propaganda going, keep the fear going. It has to keep regaining its ground, because it keeps losing ground as soon as it turns its back to light and tries to
lord
it onto others. Yeah.
Well, you're giving it the power. And my invitation would be to look at the fact that in order for one to be lorded over, there has to be a piece of that individual who's playing that game of victimhood. Of, you know, I talked before about the global one world religion of victimhood and blame. If there was nobody playing from the inside the victimhood and blame game, there would be nowhere that the person who wants to lord it over somewhere else could act, because energetically it just couldn't flow, it couldn't move. And so, you know, again, it takes dealing with both sides of that equation to clean it up in ourselves and in the world.
So I've been saying another thing lately, and I've actually, it's really weird, because sometimes when I say something, I start hearing it as a new set of verbiage in the culture. It's funny. But I started saying in my own community, we have to draw the line. Right, so we draw the line as to what we're going to stop buying into, and we have to raise the bar in ourselves as to what we are going to fill ourselves with, our new creation. And that's what your worksheets do for us all the time, on every level that we're able, in every layer that percolates up, we're able to, you know, keep clearing it. So, you know, it could seem like
layer
a numbers
by layer
game, critical mass, get more minds, more versus the others, you know, and that's the duality of here where we live and how we create effects, because we somehow want to have effects to experience. So we can change the game to a different quality of effect. And we can start by drawing the line as to what we're willing to buy into and blame and be in denial about. We have to draw that line.
For aliveness.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay, well, I don't know why I was going to speech today, but that's my speech. And so I'm doing much better.
Okay.
Thank you for your support
Sweet.
The other day. Very wonderful. I appreciate it. And
awesome. How are
on.
Your plans coming for your transition to Spain?
Better. I made some progress yesterday, and I have someone coming over to help today and tomorrow. So my goal is to have my garage empty by the end of this weekend. I think I'm going to make it.
Well, congratulations.
Because whatever's
awesome.
Left goes to the dump, right?
There you go.
Now, and I apologize for dumping my effects into the effect of dumps and the toxicity that the winds move around, you know. But I won't go into that part. Okay.
Okay.
So I apologize if I'm working on it. Thank you. I'm
All
sure
right.
there's someone else or a question in the queue. So thank you, Michael and Jeannie. Thank you.
Okay,
and Julie, you
fun.
Might look, do a Google
yeah.
search or a neighborhood search or something in your area. I know here we have a couple of different, I don't know if they're families or companies or what, but they actually put out flyers that says, don't dump it, call us. And they come and get things. It doesn't matter if it's a half-used can of paint or, you know, an old lamp that doesn't work or a broken chair or whatever. And they come and get it, and they, you know, I'm sure they refix it and then sell it. You know, that's one way of getting things removed and maybe it getting refurbished or something, somebody else using it.
Thank you. Is that kind of the name of their business? Don't dump it, call us.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
No.
I think I've heard of this. It maybe have been from you, but that's perfect for me to know about right now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See how the mind of God works. What?
What town are you in now?
I'm in Ashland, Oregon.
Ashland, okay. I was surprised when I was doing the research I was talking about earlier that Medford is one of the top, I think, 30 toxic sites in the country for air pollution and toxicity.
Well, we had all
bizarre.
The fires. Yeah, we had
yeah.
so many fires. And when you look at what is dumped on our land mass from the air to begin with, and, you know, just the residue from airplanes, and then even when they're dumping the stuff that puts out the fires, that red smoky looking stuff, it's just like then, you know, fire comes up, burns it all, raises it into the atmosphere, and the winds carry it around the world. And then
right.
and then we get to call that climate change. And what are we going to do and give the politicians more money and stop using our resources, people, you know? And so there's a supply chain problem, and there's a pandemic problem, and, you know, it's so easy to generate fear, but to dismantle it.
Or it's so
is
easy to
easy.
Heal fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have a different conversation when we come around people who are feeling the fear and generating anxiety, you know, from their minds, from the goal that we give our mind to believe the lie that we're telling it, and that sets up stress for the goal to be accomplished.
It's definitely time for healing.
So anyway, blessings and love. I did say a prayer for Aria.
All right, you have a good one.
Rain.
Good,
Michael,
good luck
I know,
with your clean-out project this weekend.
Do you have someone else on the line ready in queue? Is there someone in the queue?
We do, but you're on the phone right now.
Well, I just want to say that I'm willing to donate to you guys for what your request has been. I will match other people's donations up to $1,000.
Wow.
Whatever people are willing to come forth.
Wow.
With, and I'm calling people to come forth because I'm calling. I've drawn that line. And I'm raising the bar. Okay, I'm going to go now. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that offer, and we'll put it out there and let people know that that you're there to match it. And, you know, you did that a couple of years ago. It was really helpful, and appreciate that that offer. That's awesome.
Appreciate.
All right. Well, thank you, Julie. Blessings.
I appreciate people stepping forward. Thank you. You're welcome.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's generous. So if anybody else is out there thinking about doing a donation at this point, there's a young lady who's saying that she'll match what you choose to donate up to $1,000. So that'll double the impact of any support you choose to give. So if you're in a position to, and this work's touching you, to offer support, there's a way to make it even more impactful. And get the expenses of running Heartland. It's been almost going on 3 years now that it's been sitting vacant, and of course the electricity runs and the taxes go on and the maintenance goes on and the on and on and on. Anyway, thank you, Julie. So Miss Jeannie, you've got a question or a hand up? Where are we going here?
I actually have both. But
let's go with the live question.
Oh, okay. We got a hand up. I think it's Celinda, 541.
You got it.
Hey there, Celinda. How are you, young lady?
I'm fine, thank you. I always enjoy.
I almost called you yesterday.
Oh, did my finger hit the wrong phone number by chance?
No. I was just thinking, you know, since Aria's been born, you've had a very strong resonance and communicated with her. And I did have the thought, and we had a lot on our plate, and I didn't get to the phone of calling you, just saying, hey, just send some energy in Aria's direction. She's having some challenges. So, and here you are.
Yeah, I have been sending. I've been listening, and I'm sending. Also, I have a donation ready for you. I will mail it, of course. But I've been sitting on it because I have this recycled Thanksgiving card that I want to send it with. So you'll get that. You'll get a chuckle out of the card. I think it's the American Heart Association or something. But it's a sweet card. And I will send that donation on to you.
We'll put it in the pool for Julie to match. Then that's awesome. Thank you.
All right. And Julie, that's amazing. I am so grateful for you and your energy. Thank you. Julie said several things that triggered thoughts in me, and I wanted to share my thoughts in affirmation and support for what she said. She mentioned about the mirrors, right? You know, like, and it brings to light those old stories about the mirror and us reflecting the mirrors, being one of the shards of the disco ball, if you like, that goes around and reflects. And when she was talking about the error, I was thinking, you know, there's hardly ever been a situation where when I was deeply honest with myself, there was not some truth in another's point of view. And so I wanted to share that as I learned to listen more deeply, I can begin to hear beneath my resistance what I do need to listen about what that person is saying, not only because of registering their pain so that I can be loved, express love in whatever form I'm told to express it towards them, but also because, pay attention here, because it's all of the little truths that when we discern the truth and the little truth, which also has error in it, when I do that for myself, I get a bigger picture. It's like my truth with a capital T starts growing bigger. And thanks to Ruha and that co-creative process that each of us as soul has the opportunity to enter with Ruha. So that was one thought. And then another thought was I think it's very interesting how we in the Western cultures somehow equate darkness with evil. I think that's, and I have an acronym for evil to go along with sin, and I'll share it with you. The Eastern mind just sees darkness as the yin side of light, and which is very appropriate.
Can't have one without the other.
That's right, for this world that we are traveling through, abiding in and traveling through. It's not our true abode, but while we're here, those are the laws of life, the dynamics of this particular creation. And so I also have always seen dark as somehow evil. And I've now said, well, it's not necessarily evil. It's what I, how I choose to see it, because it's also the resting phase. If we're doing all the time, we just end up in our own doo-doo. And so being able to rest and to know, to listen and know when we need to rest and when we need to do, I just think that's a great talent or learning to have to take us on our journey. Well, you said it, when to be silent and when to speak would be an excellent example of darkness and light, being private or being accepting, or it's time to say something, but how we say it and how we say it is very, very important. What kind of energy, even when we're holding another accountable. So I thought I'd share that. And I won't be able to stay on very long because I have a meeting at 11. However, would you like to hear my acronym about evil?
Go for it.
Evidence verified in lies. That went along really nicely with sin, self-imposed nonsense. Are you there?
Michael,
I'm here.
We're not hearing
you. I'm just, I wasn't
pondering.
Saying anything. Yeah, I was just trying to see how that fits. And, of course, we can produce evidence for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
There
so I'm not
go.
Sure
That's
how that would relate to
thinking.
Evil. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, if our evidence is based on lies, we're going to get false evidence, right?
Yeah, there you've got false
That's
evidence
false.
Appearing real. We're back to fear again.
Yeah, there you go.
So many opportunities to learn forgiveness.
Yeah, right. They make a good little trinity, don't they?
There you go.
A trinity that we sort of is a slew. Anyway, I think that's it for the moment, and now I'm prepared. But I wanted to share that and share with, and also one other thought I have for you, if there's time. And I have time. I live in this tiny community, and I've shared with you before about they're equally divided about anti-vacciners and pro-vacciners and COVID and fear
right.
and unlock and all of this, which I find a blessing. Having all of that mix is a real blessing because it's a huge, it's like frontier, it's a huge growth opportunity. And I had heard many people in the community, many people that would say in one form or another, oh, there's just no one I can talk to who wants to talk about deep, meaningful things, like spiritual things, or, you know, it's just like the division that's going
right.
on. And I said, but within the last week, I have, and the last, maybe even the last month, I have dared to say something, drop something, little part in a conversation. And these, what I'm finding is these, there are people that I thought would never be interested in a spiritual conversation. It's just like it was water on a parched plant or something. And I would have so just thing the line, so to speak, and fishing. Maybe that's what that old childhood song of we will we are fishers of men that we used to play in, sing in, what, Bible school. Remember those Bible school days? Well, I will make you fishers of men. Well, maybe we thought we were supposed to catch the fish, but no, I think we were just supposed to throw the line out with the bait and see who's interested.
Hold the space.
Hold the space. And yeah. Learn, my thing is learning how to respond to them in a way that makes space for them. Yeah. So anyway, I want to share that with you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Take
all right,
care.
And then you have a blessed day.
I will, and you as well.
And thanks for the support of Aria Rain.
Oh, always.
I know you've got a connection with her.
Well, that's because I'm seeing how I was not able to support my own grandchildren when they needed it when they were little. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
all
I
right.
Say, okay, I have another opportunity, and thank you.
Sweet.
Thank Aria Rain.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we do every day.
Bye now.
All right. Have a blessed one. Bye-bye. All right, Miss Jeannie, we got about 5 minutes. Are we going to be able to cover this question in five?
We actually only have three. So probably not, but just to – and
maybe we should
we'll
hold it for
start
tomorrow,
with it then on Monday. Yeah.
There you go.
But I'll just throw out an ad, you know, because Aria has been with us and the things that we do that are more on a conscious level than probably what she's getting in school and stuff. And hopefully she'll pass it on to them and teach them a few things. Just like if you ask her, why are you here, she'll tell you to be love. Well, the other day when this was before she got really sick, last Thursday, she had a little bit of a cough, and so we made her some lemon water with honey and didn't put any cayenne in it, but just made her basically lemonade, that the lemon would help break it up. And so one of the first things she did when she got worse and Ryan was, you know, asking her what all she wanted or needed or whatever, and she said, one time she said, make me some tea, and then another time she said, make me some lemon water. So she knows what works.
For sure. For sure, yeah. And I look forward to her getting here. Hopefully she's going to be feeling better by Monday, and we'll get her hand in the Avicen and get the next level of energy moving in her little body so that she
right.
can clear out all the impact and effects of this assault that she's gone under, she's been in. So
right.
holding the space.
And we've got right at 2 minutes, so I'll just give a heads up of what the conversation will be on Monday. And so if everybody would tune in and help us continue the conversation. I was working with a lady, and she actually wrote me an email, and I was just reading the email. And I've put a link on the website. If you go to the website and click on either the Bullseye or the Start Here, and then scroll down beyond all of the worksheets, there are a couple things I've added out there now. One is hints for those who have no issues or think they have no issues. One is, what is it that you really want? What's your goal? You know, we're taught in this world to focus on what we don't want instead of what we want. And then stuck points and how to get past it. And, you know, this one, the lady I was working with, she didn't really, you know, do worksheets, and she didn't, you know, and getting her to understand that her thinking was what was impacting the world that she saw, and that the world wasn't going to change until her thinking changed. And so getting her to understand that. So we'll talk about that on Monday.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do have a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing session coming up the second Saturday and the following Tuesday of October, if you're inclined to join us for that. And, of course, we'll thank, pardon me, Julie once again for that generous offer. And if you want to be part of that process, drop Jeannie a note at jeanie@yagain.org. And blessings. Thanks for joining us.